a treat. This is kind of a last-minute thing to some degree for me. I just say this a little bit. The last few days, I have not felt topside for some reason. I'm working my way through it. And you just, you know, pray for me, if you will. Just get the strength back a little bit and so forth. I guess we'll let this crowd come on in. Come on in. Find a place. Okay, we've got a crew here. And as they do that, I'll... So tonight I've asked our brother Robles to preach. Appreciate him. You know, I let me just say this. I thank God that God has given us men around here to that we can call on in such a time as this. I appreciate brother Robles and his family and a whole lot. They've done a lot to help me in different areas with VBS and different things, and does not go unnoticed. And because I've been trying to get a little extra rest, I kind of called him this weekend, and if he said yes, great. If he said no, that'd been great. We would have obviously had a service, but I'm delighted to have my good friend Brother Robles preach for us tonight. He deserves good hearing, so everybody sit up, listen, and I'm so excited that he's back home safely. We missed him this morning. We missed Junior this morning, by the way. You know, we missed Junior, and the kids missed Junior and so forth. I can't play the part of Junior. I can't go back and forth and do that. They'll pay, you know, but we missed them, and they've definitely been an asset around here in many, many ways. And I'm just very thrilled. Again, as I was saying, when I first came, you know, it was a little bit different than it is now. And I thank God that God has given us some men. We ought to be very grateful for those that God has given us here, church, but given us some folks that for such a time as this can step up and help out the preacher. And he's a good preacher. I enjoy hearing, you know, he's taken over my Sunday school class. He does a fabulous job, and he's been working with the puppets. He's been working with a lot of different things, and it's just been a big help, big enhancement to our ministry here. So, you know, I want every child, everybody sit up, listen, and Brother Robles has something big on his heart from the Lord, so let's hear him preach tonight. Come preach for us.
Thank you, preacher.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. It's so good to be home. Amen. This is home for us now, and we're just thankful that we can be amongst you again. And it's nice to have my daughter home. I miss my baby, you know. She may be 19 years old, but she's still my baby. And, you know, it's just good to have her home, and I can't wait to sweet time of fellowship with her and around the people of God and with the people of God. And that it's just good to be here tonight. Amen. I hope you're glad you're here tonight.
Amen.
You know, no place better to be than in the house of God. Amen. So if you go with me, please, and if we stand, Acts chapter 1 and verses 1 through 11, and I know it's a familiar scripture, but we'll just read through that tonight and pray that the Lord will just minister to your hearts. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus. Amen, those wonderful names. Read with me, and I pray that we'll read responsibly tonight. All that Jesus began to both do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he had thought, through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles who he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days in speaking of the things pertaining the kingdom of God. After being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the Father, for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. But when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up with a cloud, and a cloud received them out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight, Lord, you look upon this feeble lips, this feeble body, Lord, and you use it, Father, for your glory. Everything that we do is for your glory, Lord. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you prepare our hearts, that you prepare our lives, Lord, to be that when the word goes forth, it may produce conviction. Lord, if you look at the areas of our heart, those areas in our hearts, Lord, that maybe we're holding back on. And Lord, those areas of our lives that really we haven't allowed you or your Holy Spirit to challenge them. Oh Lord, but those are the particular area of interest for you. Help us, Lord, to surrender every area of our lives to you, that we might bring you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I titled this message tonight as I was reading, Some Things Jesus Left His Church. I'm glad I'm a part of this local church. And I'm glad for the local church folks. I'm glad that we have a local church that we can come and sit and week after week hear preaching from the Word of God. And by the way, we just don't hear preaching, we hear it from the Word of God. Amen? And I'm glad that in this local church there's many ministry that God have given many, and I'm glad that in this local church Jesus is the vehicle that Jesus has used in this later days, in these days that we're living in, to manifest his power. God uses the local church. Amen? God uses people in the local church to accomplish his will here on the earth. Now, we are reading here in this Acts chapter 1, and we're seeing the ascension, really, of Jesus Christ. And some of the things that Jesus took. Number one, he took the prince of his suffering. Isn't it something that the only thing that's in heaven made by man are the wounds on Jesus' hands and feet? You think about it. What a poor testimony that Jesus came to his own. His own received him not. And that's a sad thing. But it's a great thing, because the next part of that verse says, But to them which received them gave he power for them to become the sons of God. I'm a child of God today because of Jesus Christ. And not only that, I'm a child of God and I'm serving in a place where Jesus has manifested his power here in the local church. But the saddest statement is that the only thing that Jesus has to show for his love of mankind is the prince of his suffering. In fact, in the Bible, we're told in the last day they will recognize, the Jews will recognize him as the one that they have pierced. But if Jesus had not left, he would not. He also had some things with the authority to send the Holy Spirit. He also took with him the plans of a heavenly home, because he said, I go to prepare a place for you. Isn't that a great thing? Jesus right now is preparing a place for me. Because he said that where I am, ye may be also. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I'm glad I know and I have that certainty that I'm going to heaven. In fact, Jesus said that he was leaving to prepare a place for me. Now, he also said to us that he took with him the desire. Jesus has the desire to come again. You know, you hear a lot of preaching today, and I'm glad for the I'm glad we hear about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad he said he's coming again. I hope you live like he's coming again. Someone said we ought to live our lives as if Christ died this morning, rose again this afternoon, and is coming back tonight. We ought to live our lives realizing that someday Jesus said he will come again. By the way, he has that desire to come again. Now, some of the things he left his church, what were they? Number one, he left his church an unquestionable passion. He said that he tells the husband, love your wife, how? As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. If there's one thing I can tell you tonight, church, is that Jesus loves you. Amen? That every person here, listen, every person here within the manifest of the purpose of God is loved of God. I'm loved of God. I'm loved of God so much he gave me an eternal salvation. He said, the Bible says in Ephesians 5 and 2, that he loved us so much that he has given himself for us. And that total expression of his love came at Calvary. Amen? When someone asked, I asked Jesus how much he loved me, and he stretched out his arms and died. Amen. He loved me so much, he took the punishment of my sin. I'm guilty. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. I'm guilty of sin. I was condemned to die, but God in his love took my sins and placed it upon himself and died a substitution in my place. I can't say that word, I try. But he died in my place so that I can have eternal life. The Bible says God commended his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that great news? While I was yet a sinner, while I was still an enemy of God, while I was still in my sin, the Bible says Jesus died for me that I may have eternal life through him. The Bible says in Acts 20:28, if you go there with me, it's a wonderful text that I love. It says in Acts 20, verse 28, it speaks about his unpassionate love. It says here, take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own what? I love to preach about the blood of Jesus Christ, because it was this, the blood that was shed for me that paid the penalty of my sin. When the leper was healed, that blood was taken, and when that sacrifice was offered, that blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat, and it typified the blood of Jesus Christ that was sprinkled for me and my sin. It was the shed up blood of Jesus that forgave me of my sins. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I think about Jesus. It was love that took the Son of God from the heights of heaven to the throne of the universe, to the cross of shame and woe on a skull-shaped hill called Calvary, to die on our behalf. We never know how much God still loves me. You know, if there's one subject I enjoy preaching more about, it's about the love of Christ. But if there's one place that baffles me, because I still cannot express it enough and ashamed of my poor, feeble words, is the same subject. Because I am in awe of the way that God loved me so much and still does. He loves me in spite of myself, in spite of my difficulties. In spite of it all, there is such a truth that God loves me. Amen? Through my failures, through my weaknesses. In fact, the Bible says even when I'm not faithful, he remains faithful. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I wish that I could express the love of God tonight, how much God loves you, that he was willing to lay down his life in spite of my sinful self. He was willing to take the place of my guilt. He was willing to take the place because he loved me. What else did Jesus leave his church? Not only an undying love and a passion that he left for me, a love that he has for me so much that he was willing to take my place, but Jesus left his church an unlimited power. I'm glad of that tonight. I'm glad. Listen, let's read in that same chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You know, there's so many today that are preaching about the Holy Spirit and are missing the whole point of the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave me the Holy Spirit. Listen, once I got saved, I got filled with the Spirit of God. God gave me his Holy Spirit so that I can live something that, you know, it's impossible to live the Christian life. It really, in my own strength and in my own power, I cannot live the Christian life. But God gave me his Holy Spirit so that through it I can do that which is impossible. I can live the life of Christ in me. I'm glad that tonight we have the Holy Spirit. I'm glad that he gave us power. He gave us the power of the Spirit. Truly, we know that we are, the Bible says in Ephesians 3:16, that we are strengthened with might by his Spirit. Now today, there are many substitutes for power. Many today try to think, some have tried, they said, you know, if we just organize ourselves, we'll have an organizational power. Some have tried to stay busy. You know, the busier we are, the more powerful we are. Some have tried attraction. But listen, the only power that counts in the church of Jesus Christ is power that comes from the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? He is the representative here of Christ in the earth and the secret of the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what it is for the believer? Surrender. God fills me more of His Holy Spirit the more I'm willing to surrender myself. One time, Queen Victoria asked a preacher, he said, "Sir, you are the most educated preacher in my realm, not the most educated preacher in my realm, not the most talented. You don't have the largest church. Why is it then that you're being used so mightily of God?" And this is what he answered. He said, "Ma'am, because I guess that God has all there is of me." And you see, fullness of the Holy Spirit is found in not how high I jump, and not how loud I scream, but in how much I'm willing to surrender of myself to God. That's what fulling of the Holy Spirit is. The more I yield myself, that's why the Bible tells me to yield my members unto God. Every day is the yielding of the Holy Spirit. And God said, the more I yield myself to Him, the more I'll have of His Spirit. D.L. Moody once said, "Pentecost is simply a specimen of case of what God can do when people are controlled with the Holy Spirit." By the way, why did God give me the Holy Spirit? It's written right there. "But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses." You know what God wants to do with my life? He wants to make it a living witness of Jesus Christ. What is God trying to do with me on a daily basis? Shape me more like His Son. He wants to take everything that there is. Listen, he wants to take everything that there is of Fred Robles and take away more of that and put more of His Son in me. He wants to make me more like Jesus. Every day the purpose of God is to make me more like His Son, to take less, to take this flesh and put it under subjection of the Holy Spirit so that what? So that I can be a living witness. There is no greater witness for Jesus Christ than a changed life by the power of God. There is no greater witness for Jesus Christ than a life that is filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what? It's interesting that we see here in the day of Pentecost, and we see here in chapter 2, that they were gathered together, the Bible says, and who is the one? And this is the amazing thing about the Holy Spirit. We see that they were praying in the upper room, and we see that God came and flames of God began all of a sudden to pour out His Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden let's go then, chapter 2 and verse 3. It says, verse 2, and let's read from verse 1. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance." And by the way, many people just stopped there today. Can I tell you something? I long years ago, I used to believe that that was the filling of the Holy Spirit. I used to believe, you know, but when I began to study the Word of God, and when God began to dwell in my heart, I realized that I was missing the whole point. And there's people today that read this chapter and they think, you know, they stop right there and miss the whole point of the chapter. Because you see, if you read further, you say, "And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now this was noise abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own" what? You see, there wasn't just a babble. By the way, folks, there's always a purpose why God does something. And the purpose here was to pour out His Holy Spirit so that people will go out and witness. And all of a sudden, these people that were there heard people that they never knew speak in their own language the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what filling of the Holy Spirit is. It's not about tongues. It's not about a language that can't be understood today. And I remember being in a movement long time ago where they taught, well, you know, you need to have the tongues. Nobody can understand them. Let me tell you something. If God's plan is to reveal himself, then why is he going to hide behind a language that no one can understand? God's plan is to reveal the message of Jesus Christ. And here they were dwelling in Jerusalem, and all of a sudden, God pours the Spirit. And what happened? All of a sudden, there is a boldness. And they began to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they were amazed. Verse 7, all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in his own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea, and Cappadocia, in Pontus, in Asia, Phygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers, Romans, Jews, proselytes, Greeks, Arabians, man, a whole mess of people. What does it say? We do hear them speak in our own tongue. What? The wonderful works of God. You know what that tells me? They were understood. The people knew what they were saying. They were proclaiming the wonderful work of God. And what is the wonderful work of God? Salvation through grace in Jesus Christ. So many today missed the boat on this subject because they forgot that Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit so that I can be a witness. I tell you, it takes a lot to get to a door and knock on a door, not knowing what's on the other side. On my own, I can't do it. Usually, I'm a shy person. Every time I say that, my wife laughs, but I'm a very shy person. I have difficulty making friends, you know. And I tell you one thing, whenever I get knocking on doors, man, that is one of the scariest things. Don't you laugh at me. It's one of the just one of the scariest things when you get to a door, not knowing what's on the other side. I can't do it in my own strength. I can't do it on my own. I need God's Holy Spirit, and God will give you the boldness. By the way, the languages that were spoken about here were understood languages. Did you know that I speak in tongues? Yes, two, Spanish and English. And I use them both to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And so God today has given us an enabling. He's given us a spirit. Listen, this thing of people getting caught up at that one thing and stopping there and not going any further. Oh, well, I speak it. God gives me this utterance. Do you use it to tell others about Christ? Don't tell me how much you talk, how much you babble. Tell me how much are you going out to witness to others? Because that's what the Holy Spirit was given to me for. And all of a sudden, listen, they went out and began to speak about Jesus Christ. Here's people that God has used. Because the purpose of the Holy Spirit is for another purpose. Not only did God leave his church an undying love, not only did God leave his church power to fulfill his tasks, the Holy Spirit, but he also left the church an unchanging program. Look at what it says right there in that same chapter. But ye shall be witnesses unto me. Witness of what? Witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what? I'm a witness. And the reason I'm a witness is because I know firsthand what the gospel of Jesus Christ can do for what it's done for me. I stand here tonight a forgiven sinner. And don't you look at me sanctified, because all of you are too. If you're saved tonight, you're a forgiven sinner. If you're saved tonight, you were guilty and you were, listen, God had every right to send you to hell. But in his mercy and in his love, he what? He forgave us. And then he tells us now that he's going to give us power to be witnesses. Then he says, where am I going to go? First of all, he says, what's the program? Jerusalem. He said, I want you to witness to those first close to you, your own countrymen, your own family, your own community. Then he says, I want you to go in Judea. Then I want you to go to Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Isn't it amazing that God wants us to be witnessed not only in our community? You know what? Some of the times we're busy trying to witness to other people, and God wants us to reach those of our family members first. Amen? We ought to be witness to our own family members. Listen, one of the greatest things I can tell you today, I'm glad I had the privilege to lead some of my own kids to the Lord. We ought to be witnessing to our own children. It's terrible when we try to witness to others, and listen, we miss God's plan. We got to focus on home. I'm glad for the local church. For the local church needs to go out to the local community. We have community around us that is dying in sin, and God has chosen us to go out and reach them. Not only members of our family, not only our children, but think about your neighbor. Amen? God wants your neighbor saved. I tell you, if every Christian did what they were supposed to do as far as reaching those around them for Jesus Christ, man, we would see a lot of harvest. Secondly, he goes, I want you to go to all Judea. I'm as concerned as my neighborhood as I am about this country I live in. I love America. I'm an American. Amen. I love its history. I love everything about America. But in this day and age, I'm also worried for America. My friends, if we don't become filled with the Holy Spirit, and we don't witness to our children, and we don't go out and reach the lost, we will not see another generation. Understand this, if we don't invest our time, if we don't invest our money, if we don't invest our energy in the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want you to know there is some, listen, the devil has got his investment crowd out there, if you don't know it. The devil is already out there preaching his own gospel, amen? You look at the attraction today of young people. I mean, my heart, you know what? I'm burdened, and I'm glad we are in a church that is burdened for young people. Because I want to see another generation of people serving God and taking on the truths that they have learned to another generation. But if we don't become busy about doing that today, if we don't become busy about reaching those around us today, I'll tell you what, Satan is busy with his own plan. And I know that in the last years, because we have become silent, because we haven't been as eager as we should be, filled with the Holy Spirit, sad to say, you know, I was reading, even though I wasn't here, I was reading today's Sunday school lesson back home. And it spoke about Josiah the king. And it spoke about how revival broke out in the days of Josiah. One of the things that struck me the most in that verse of 2 Chronicles chapter 34, it said that they found the word of the Lord. You know what's happened in America today is we lost our power because we lost the love of the word of God. Even in churches today, the Bible is a missing book. Even in churches today, we have people preaching about everything else, and we have people concentrating on popular opinion and on popular instead of the Word of God. Amen. I'm glad for a church that preaches from the Word of God and still stands on the King James Bible. Because our power is going to draw from this book. You shall be witnesses. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God so that I may be a witness, that revival may come. He says, I want you to go to Samaria. I'm concerned about our country, and I'm concerned. And listen, I'm going to be a witness so that our generation, our country, will not fall into the hands of the enemy. I believe is that serious. When I look at the history of our country and see that it started, by the way, I don't care what the school tells you, it started on Christian principles. Our country was founded by Christian men who loved God and were willing to do the will of God. Listen to me, I'm concerned about our country. And God has given me the Holy Spirit so that I may be a witness to Judea and then I may go to Samaria. Not only is God concerned about my country, not only about my country, but he's concerned about the continent of. He says, go to Samaria. Then I want you to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. God's given us. Listen, every time I meet a missionary, my heart just rejoices that somewhere else in the world, people are going to hear the same gospel I heard here. That somewhere else in the world, someone's going to take the word of God. My heart is challenged for missions. I hope your heart is challenged for missions. Because God wants us to be a local church with a vision for the world. With a vision that will reach the world. Listen, evangelize, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We are to be witnesses to him. We are to be witnesses in our job. We are to be witnesses in our family. We are to be witnesses in our school. We are to be witnesses of Jesus Christ wherever we are. If you're a Christian that your Christianity turns off when you walk out the door, you don't know the half of it. You need the power of God. God wants you to be a witness everywhere you are. So not only did he give me an unchanging program, you know that God's will involves people. I'm glad we have a bus route. Amen. I'm glad we are reaching children. I'm glad we have organized soul winning, because the purpose of the church and God's will always involves people. For he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come Amen. To repentance. We are to be witnesses to him. That is the purpose. We have an unchanging program. He wants to be witnesses in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Then one more thing. He left his church. And it's found in these verses here. And while he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud, and a cloud received them out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up to behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up unto heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you in heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. He left me an unfailing promise. He's coming again. Amen. Isn't it amazing? Here, you know that many people today are in astonishment sometimes in church. Oh, so-and-so goes soul winning. Oh, so-and-so goes and do this. They're in astonishment. Oh, isn't that great how that life will change? But there are some people in the church that are active and others that are spectators. You see, the game, the life, the Christian life is not a spectator sport. Amen? But it's one to actively participate in. Because God will bless you when you're an active participant in the will of God, which is to reach Jerusalem, which is to reach Judea, which is to reach Samaria, which is to reach the uttermost parts of the world. I'm glad he's coming again. He gave me that promise. He said he will come again. John chapter 14. And verses 1 through 3, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Isn't that great? I may not have nothing here, but in my Father's house I have a mansion. I may have a rented apartment here, but in my Father's house I have a mansion. The problem is sometimes we get so comfortable here that we forget that our home is heaven. The Bible says I'm a pilgrim and a stranger just traveling through. And he says, if it were not so, I would have told you. And here's the best part. I go to prepare a place for you. And then I just love this verse. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. Amen. Notice it doesn't say I might. Notice it doesn't say I could. He says, I will come again. In fact, the Bible says that the coming of Jesus Christ ought to be words of comfort for one another. Doesn't the Bible says, comfort one another with these words? You know what the comfort is? That no matter how difficult this life gets, no matter how comfortable I get here. By the way, we get pretty comfortable here. We see that in those verses. What were those men doing? All of a sudden, can you imagine? You're talking. Jesus is talking to you. He tells you you're going to receive power, that the Holy Ghost is. And all of a sudden, as he's talking, he begins to rise into heaven. I mean, can you picture something like that, or just imagine it in your mind? All of a sudden, he begins to rise into heaven. And what do? And by the way, it's the same thing you and I do. They stood there in astonishment. They just stood there and stared. And you know, so many in the church today are just sitting there and staring. I can't wait to see what God is about to do. They're just sitting there. And listen, I read the gifts of the Spirit, and I've taught the gifts of the Spirit. None of them say pew warmer and sitter. None of them say that God has given us gifts so that we may sit down and enjoy Him. But God has given us gifts for the fulfilling of the ministry in the church. And God has given us an enabling through the Holy Spirit so that we may become an active participant. Isn't it amazing? They're standing there talking to each other. This is great. This is wonderful. And all of a sudden, God has to send somebody down and say, why are you standing there? And sometimes all we do is stand there. And God sometimes has to move circumstances in our life so that we get going and do what we should do, and that is to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. I just don't want to stand there and gaze. I just don't want to stand there and be amazed. I want to be an active participant. Amen? And he says, this same Jesus, the same one you've seen today, the same one you've seen do miracles, the same one that you are beholding with your eyes being taken up into heaven, he's going to come again. Hallelujah. Folks, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is not a fairy tale. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ should be our main subject and should be our source of comfort. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, please. Let's go there real quickly. In 1 Thessalonians 4:18, God gives us encouragement. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 18. He tells us, first of all, let's read, and maybe we ought to read it from verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so to them which sleep, Jesus will bring with him. For if we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that which we are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. He's coming back, amen? With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Somebody said, why are the dead going to rise first? Because they're 6 feet under, amen? And they have to catch up to them that are living. And then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. I can't wait till that day that I will forever be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the thought of heaven is a great thought. The streets of gold, all the things that we're told about heaven. The Bible says that we can't even comprehend the things that are in heaven. But the greatest thing in heaven will be that I will see my Savior face to face. And then it says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then it says, wherefore comfort one another. Hey, are things getting tough? Did the election leave you disappointed? Are you having a tough time? He's coming again.
Amen.
Listen, you're sick, don't feel well, things just have a way of not turning, going your way. Jesus is coming again. That's why it says comfort one another with these words. When I did not believe, or I was being taught a different doctrine than I am right now, I was being taught that it was possible for me to lose my salvation. And I tell you what, I never really had that concept. These words to me were not words of comfort. Every time I heard about the coming of the Lord, I would be scared to death, because I thought that God was so unjust that if I did something wrong, that salvation he gave me, he will take it away again. That's the way I thought. But when I understood that Jesus died for me, and that when I got saved, he gave me something, that I was in the hollow of his hand, and that I was saved and saved forever. And that one day, listen, and that salvation, no man could take away. But I was not redeemed with foolish things. I was redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. When I understood that it wasn't by the blood of bulls and goats, but it was by his own precious blood, that once and for all, he entered into the holies of holies and obtained an eternal redemption for me. And I understood that I was saved forever. These words became words of comfort. I'm going to heaven. Amen. And I have a mansion in heaven. Can you picture this? That Jesus himself is the architect. Hallelujah. I'm going to heaven. Not by my own, but because of him. And someday, when it gets difficult, when it gets tough, he's coming again. Someday when I least expect it, the trumpet shall sound.
Amen.
Hallelujah, the dead in Christ shall rise. Let me tell you something, there's some precious saints that have gone on before me that I can't wait to see again. I have a son that I can't wait to see again. And someday, when the Lord shall return, the Bible says that the dead in Christ shall rise. And then we that are alive shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. There's going to be a meeting someday that I can't wait. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Someday I'm going to meet everyone that's gone before me. And so, this is the best part, shall we ever be with the Lord. I can't wait to be with Jesus. I'm glad. These are the things that Christ left his church. Jesus died and was buried and rose on the third day. For 40 days, those early church were taught some valuable truths of the kingdom of God. Afterwards, he ascended into heaven, for his task on earth was finished. However, before he did, he left the church these valuable things. Are you a member of his church tonight? And if so, what are you doing with those valuable things? Amen? Let's bow our heads tonight. I hope that tonight you realize, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can know him today. You know, God is not willing that any should perish. God wants to give everyone the same opportunity of going to heaven. I'm glad that it's through Jesus Christ that you can go through heaven tonight. If you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Robles, Brother Robles, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never been saved. I don't know what it means to be saved. I like somebody to show me. I want to make sure that if I die tonight, I'm going to go to heaven. And now I understood that Jesus died for me. And he rose again for me. I like to know him tonight. Can someone show me tonight how I can be sure of heaven? If you're here tonight and you don't know that you're going to heaven, would you raise your hand tonight? I sure would like to have somebody pray with you. I sure would like to have somebody show you how. If you're here tonight and God's spoken to your heart in a special way, I want to let Pastor Weeks come at this time.
Someone has said, every head bowed, every eye closed, someone has said that the worst place to die and go to hell from would be an independent Bible-believing Baptist church. You know, he spoke very much on eternity tonight. I wonder if you're here today, and if you are honest with yourself, where would you spend eternity? Would you be able to spend it in the mansions that he's gone on to prepare? He wants to prepare a mansion for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, as he preached on tonight. Do you have a mansion in heaven tonight? Or are you sitting there wondering, you know, I don't know. You see, the Bible teaches there's one of two places we're going to spend eternity. And I wonder where it is that you'll spend eternity tonight. Have eternal life in heaven, the most precious gift of all. Or because some would choose to put it off and put it off and put it off, put it off. They could spend eternity in a place called hell, as the Bible says. And I wonder tonight where it is that you're spending eternity. The worst place to die and go to hell from, you've heard it, is from an independent Bible-believing Baptist church, one that preaches the Word of God as it is, the one that goes ahead and stands for Christ. But tonight I want you to look at, search your heart. Maybe a moment ago we asked some questions. Maybe you're here tonight. You say, "Preacher, I'm lost, and I don't know for sure that I'd have one of them mansions. I don't know for sure if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven. But you know what? I want to know. I want to know." Let me just say, my friend, in all due respect, you know, life is but a vapor. We don't know whether we have another day or another year. We just do not know. But where are you going to spend eternity? You say, "Preacher, you know, I don't know if I'm going, no, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven tonight. But you know what? No one's looking around, just me, and I will not call you by name. I will not embarrass you." You say, "Preacher, I'm lost tonight. That's me. Would you please pray for me? I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven, but I want to attain that streets of gold. I want to see Jesus in heaven. I want to spend eternity in heaven tonight. That's me." Now, maybe you're here tonight. You say, "Christian," speaking to you Christians now, I assume everybody in this room, you know Jesus as your personal Savior, you're going to heaven because there was no raised hand. But you know, maybe there's a decision you need to make tonight. Maybe there's some things, some of the things that Jesus left the church. We've been a little bit nonchalant. We're not really handling them things properly. Maybe there's some things that you need to deal with tonight. Whatever it is the Holy Spirit's dealing with tonight, in just a moment, give you an opportunity to do business at the altar. Our Heavenly Father, now bless this invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet, no one looking around. If you need to make a decision tonight, maybe a moment ago you couldn't raise your hand as far as your eternal security about salvation, won't you just step out tonight, shake my hand, and we'll have someone show you from the Bible how to be saved. Christian, if you need to make a decision tonight, won't you do it? The music's going to play.